Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. This is episode 25 of this great podcast with no more, no less the greatest Michael Kimsel, or should it be some other? Did you mute your microphone or making fun of me?
I'm just messing with you.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am too legit to quit.
As always. Yes. So, Michael, I was curious about how did it go with your Professionals Conference.
IndieConf, after all that hullabaloo and all that buildup, I think it went well. I had meant to send out a survey this week to people and kind of got... I've been playing a lot of catch-up over the last couple of weeks, both between the holidays and then some other work. Overall, we had very minor problems this year compared to last year. Numbers-wise, I think it was a slightly more attendance this year. More people stayed. I got some comments from people that even at 5 o'clock in the evening, there were still probably 90% of the people that were there. That were there at the beginning of the day. People stayed throughout the whole day, which is good. Overall, it was good. It was a lot of work, and it's really only been the last few days that I've been decompressed from it.
Yeah, you look tired, I think.
Gee, thanks.
You've been giving birth to your own baby after many months of preparation.
That, and I just got a haircut on Friday, too, so it's been tough all around. Yeah.
Well, on my part, I've been also working very hard on something. Actually, I almost mentioned it in the previous episodes regarding the new system of levels and missions for users of the both PHP classes and JS classes sites to engage and have more fun. But on that, I'll be going to get back a little add in this show because it ties in with the sections regarding the contributions done to the site, but now actually getting back to the JavaScript topics, I'd like to start about discussions that I've been seeing all around the web regarding the upcoming ECMAScript 6 and its planned support for classes, actually real classes, not just objects like you have in the current JavaScript versions that are in use. I'd like to start by sharing a discussion here. Let me just put it on the right page.
Is that the one from the chat? Is that the Quora link you've got?
Yeah, that's just one discussion. Actually, I participated in it, and
I can't tell when that question is from. Is that?
Yeah, that's one problem of Quora. But let me share it first here and try to increase the font because it's not very large. Not that people will be able to read it much, but
yeah.
Basically the question from somebody that for some reason Quora does not disclose was somebody that asked why do some people think that JavaScript needs classes? And there were a couple of answers. Actually, one of them was for me. But this is funny. That
there you go.
Because at least for me, Quora is requiring me to be logged in Facebook. Anyway, the answer was regarding at least my point of view that JavaScript would probably be better to have classes like we see in other languages, not because the other languages have them, but I think mostly what classes offer is a better organization of the way that you define your objects. For instance, one thing that I see that the current implementation of objects in JavaScript does not make very natural is the creation of subclasses, inheritance. Michael, in your experience, did you have need to have a more closer way to create subclasses and implement inheritance in JavaScript like you have in other languages?
Short answer is probably no, because I don't typically do enough advanced development in JavaScript, client-side JavaScript, to where that becomes a huge problem for me. I'm looking at it, and this seems like such a simple question, but it's actually deeper than I thought. Why do some people think it needs classes? It could be... Well, because other languages have them, and that is an answer, and it's maybe not a good answer, but I think it's deeper, to me, it's deeper than just, well, those other languages have them. There's a standardization of how, or it would allow for a greater standardization of how people solve problems in one area, and being able to take that same problem-solving approach and to bring that to JavaScript, or bring it, for most intents and purposes, to bring that to the client side. It's the same argument, but in reverse, that people argue for things like Node.js and other server-side JavaScript. I want to be able to do all my programming in the same language, or maybe taking that one step further, in the same style of thinking. If we had a class system, nothing's going to be exactly the same, but if you had a similar class system that you have, say, PHP or Java or C#, and we're able to bring that to JavaScript... Even if the syntax is somewhat different, people would be able to more easily mimic some of the same organization, code and data organization, and problem-solving abilities that they do in those other languages. So I think I repeated myself a couple times, but to some extent, that answer is just, well, because other things have it, but... Just because they have it doesn't mean it's, BASIC had let statements. We don't have those anymore, unless you're using BASIC. But there's a unification, and I think a standardization of thinking that would be beneficial.
Right. I think you brought up a good point that if your regular use of JavaScript is not exactly to create your own libraries and probably use inheritance to implement some design patterns that would benefit from inheritance, you probably would not miss that. But for me, I am quite used to develop practically all my code, being that in JavaScript or PHP or something else, in case I use it. And I cannot say that I'm the common case, because I suffered from the Nye syndrome, not invented here, and I ended up develop a lot of my code, and I feel the need to have subclasses. And the way it currently it is implemented in JavaScript, ECMAScript 5, it's not natural. We have to go through hacks to implement inheritance, and that is one of the things that I miss in JavaScript without classes, as they are in the other languages. But not that I'm not able to do whatever I need. I could do it, but is it still sort of an emulation? And there was a discussion about this. Yes.
Yeah. What seems to be obvious, though, is that there is not the type of organization and development processes that are enabled by JavaScript do not seem to be beneficial enough over the old way that people are more used to doing to warrant just going down the JavaScript sort of prototypical functional sort of approach. It has a benefit in some situations, but it may be that we are so... wrapped up in class-oriented development as a culture, whether it's Ruby or Python or PHP or Java or C# or whatever, that we need this in a client-side language as well. I realize JavaScript is just JavaScript or ECMAScript, and it's going to be server-side, it's going to be all over the place, but the overwhelming number of people are building JavaScript applications in the client and are struggling to determine good ways of organizing things. And there are some really sharp brains out there doing really cutting-edge things and building large-scale frameworks, but those don't seem to be being adopted by the masses. And so do we dumb down a language to, I say dumb down, that may be seen by some as dumb down, but do you broaden the ability in the language structurally or syntactically to let less talented people such as myself get more stuff done? Or should it remain... I mean, it's really what it comes down to is I want to be productive in that too, and I can't wrap my meager brain around all of the things that you need to do when I already understand how to do it in a different language or multiple different languages.
Well, I would not say that you are less talented. I just say you don't have the need.
Well,
because you are humble.
Well, but I'm less... certainly at JavaScript, I am less talented than many, many other people. There's a lot of people out there that are really good at it. It's not that I could not get there at all, but my talent as it exists right now is about here. If I studied and did, that's all I did, I would get up there. And if I ran a marathon every day, I'd be really thin. But neither of those are going to happen. So,
I think, many of us just do the just use JavaScript as much as you need, not because you are studying it in the college or you are having fun creating your own libraries. We have very pragmatic uses of the language, and if we don't need classes for what we do, we simply don't miss them. And there was actually a discussion in Quora with some guy named Baptiste Fontana. I don't know this guy, but there was a quite long exchange of comments, and there was no agreement in the end. That I think it is due to the fact that some people need them and don't. Other people don't, and it's all fine. Other than that, I don't think the classes will be embraced even when the first ECMAScript 6 implementations come down to the browsers, because people will always try to be as much compatible with older browsers for a few years until they become too old to be supported, and I probably do not see classes being embraced in the next 4 years. I mean, embraced at large. And, that's just a guess about the future of the adoption of classes. Because in the end, you can still do what we need to do with prototype-based objects. But obviously, it will be cleaner to do certain things with classes as they are. Well, that was just one topic, and we need to move on to the next topic. And
You've gotten very, very quiet.
did you miss my voice for a while?
Well, I wouldn't say I was missing it, but you got very quiet.
Yeah, well, I don't know what was cut. I'll have to figure it out in the recording. Well, anyway, since I don't know what was cut, I need to move on and pass to the next topic, on which we're going to comment just briefly about an article that I have seen about object properties, which somehow is related with the current topic, because I think this pertains also to ECMAScript 6. Let me screen share here. There was this article here, object properties in JavaScript by Axel Roschmeier. I'll never know if I'm spelling his name properly.
That sounds right.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm more relieved. Since you are an expert in foreign languages, you probably know better than me whether I sound right or not. Duh. Anyway, One thing that got my attention here, because I'm not yet very familiar with the whole ECMAScript 6 new syntax constructs, but one thing that got my attention is this named assessor properties, because just the other day we were discussing, actually in PHP podcast, there was a similar proposal to implement this in PHP, to have getters and setters defined with a prefix, as we can see here. Let me try to increase the font. And we actually already had this discussion. And actually, you even brought up the alternative that is it Groovy, right?
Groovy, yeah. Groovy, yeah.
Provides I think it is a better alternative that is probably backwards compatible, more backwards compatible than this one. Because if you try to run this code in older JavaScript versions, it probably just give a syntax error and it will not run. And from what you told me in Groovy, there it is something that you just define your getters and setters explicitly as functions if you want to, right?
All property access, any access is always compiled into a get foo and set foo. So either if you write explicitly a get foo and a set foo, or just one or the other, then those will be used. And if you don't, a generic one will be compiled for you. So under the hood, it's always calling get foo or set foo.
Yeah.
And that's how that works. And carry on.
Well, what matters for whoever writes in Groovy is that you will be able to decide whether you want to write your own getters and setters, and regardless if that the default implementation turns into a getter and setter function. You don't get bothered to actually write it. If you just want to implement the default behavior, which is to have properties public, are they public by default or
the methods themselves are public, and it will convert the properties to be private, but because there's public methods on them anyway, it sort of doesn't matter from a day-to-day standpoint. Just looking at the named accessor properties here, it's still, at first blush, it actually looks more like C#, but I'm seeing explicitly the get and the set definitions there, and those are on the object. So, yeah, this actually looks kind of like a hybrid between the Groovy approach and a C# approach.
Yeah, regardless of that, from the point of view of the developer that wants to be productive, I actually found your suggestion that PHP, maybe even JavaScript, should adopt the Groovy approach, because I think it's nicer and it doesn't get in the way, doesn't force you to go into bureaucratic development.
Right.
Because, by the end of the day, all the time that passes and you need to work on stuff that needs to get done, if you get buried in these little things of writing your own getters and setters functions explicitly, all that delays your work. Well, but moving on with the podcast, now I'm going to comment also briefly on an article by Adi Osmani. Let me screen share it here. I don't know if I can increase the font.
Yeah.
This display has too many heads that get in, that squeeze the space of the window. Well, anyway, the article is about writing fast memory efficient JavaScript code. Excuse me. Well, this is a very, how would I say, low-level article. Probably most developers would not be bothering to go into much detail about memory organization. But basically, it talks a bit about all the different engines work. And the differences in the memory management. And there is this concept of a garbage collection, which basically means that once values assigned to variables are no longer needed, probably because they were assigned inside the functions that already existed, the values are free, so memory becomes available to other to store other values, and you don't actually need to do anything specific to free your memory. And as long as you don't keep references to variables, objects that use that memory. And there was this delete keyword. I was not familiar with this keyword. Michael, did you know about this delete keyword?
No, I had not. I was not aware of it.
I think it mentions about a map object, which I'm not familiar either. I wonder if this looks too much like Java, not JavaScript. Well, anyway, I think this concept of they call it the memory leaks. I'm not sure if it would be right to talk about memory leaks in JavaScript, because since there is this garbage collection thing, memory leaks are not exactly the same as in a C or C++, that there was some memory that was allocated and was not freed. I think the memory that is remains allocated is because there is some variable assigned to some object or variable or value that is holding some memory, and once you unassign those variables that reference those objects, actually assign them to null, that memory will get eventually freed by the garbage collection. So
But
I don't think that it needs the delete, does it?
Well, you're assuming that whoever's writing the code or the team that's writing the code understands every little bit about what's going on. And I don't know of good, strong tools that find all of these things for you yet. Oh, at this point in time, you know, being able to stop and say, gosh, this memory is still taken up because it still has these values and these variables are pointing to these values. Gosh, I didn't want that. I thought I'd cleared all references to those. I don't think there's any good tools to do that right now in JavaScript. Yeah. I might be wrong, and I'm learning about how to do these sorts of things in Java over the last year or so. But it's it's maybe a little naive to just say, well, it should all be taken care of. Yes, garbage collection should always take care of this stuff, but does it always work? I mean, generally it does, but does it always do what we are expecting it to do? When it doesn't, how do we figure out, how do we even know there's a problem? The interesting thing, I think maybe for you and me more so, coming at this from a PHP background, the idea of long-running processes that lock up memory for hours or days, that's just not on our radar from a PHP background. So the importance of this, as we continue to move towards processes running in browsers, I've got a web-based app, and it's going to run for 3 months because it's an app in a browser, but it's really a front end on a mobile device for data collection out in the field. They are concerns that we need to know more about. But knowing that there's problems or could potentially problems only helps us so far. We need more tools. We need our tool sets to mature more, either in browser things or maybe in browser things plus more comprehensive IDEs that help would help us find these things in the first place. So.
Well, you mentioned Java, and I think it would be worth mentioning that Java has a lower level control of the garbage collector. And in JavaScript, I don't think that's something that you want to get bothered. And
but we are getting bothered with it, and something is already handling that. In Java, I don't run a garbage collector. A garbage collector runs for me.
Right, but you can control it. It's triggered.
Somewhat. But in JavaScript, there's data, there's stuff that needs to be collected. Is there a garbage collector that's running? It's doing something, but how do I know what it's doing? How do I know what it did? How do I know that it did what I wanted it to do?
Right.
We were also talking before that, while we still have pants on, about the maturity of the JavaScript tools out there. The idea of garbage collection, I had said some before, some of it may be lost to the mists of time, but in general, we don't have enough tools to help us identify things that should be garbage collected, to tell us when garbage collection is going wrong, to tell us that this there's still a reference to this someplace. With small applications, it's probably easy to find that. As we continue to develop much, much larger applications that need to be running for days or weeks or months at a time in a browser setting, we'll find these will become bigger problems. And I also suspect that the tools that we use will adapt and mature to help us deal with these problems. So,
I think you have a point. I'm just not getting used so much yet to develop what it's called the single page apps. They don't actually switch to another page. And
right.
Well, what's that?
This is an Oreo. This is a third of an Oreo cookie. Okay.
Well, is it a typical cookie from your region?
Now it's nothing. Now it's in my mouth.
Now it's gone.
It's a cookie.
Well, I think you're right. And we don't have the same tools in JavaScript as we have in Java. But probably it's a matter of time until Google comes out with something
it
like
will be
that.
It will be Google, won't it? You need to you excuse me for just one moment. Carry on, but I'll be right back. Just one moment.
Well, I'm going to just take the chance to move on and open here the screen for the next topic that I would like
yes.
to comment here. Let me just put it in on the right browser.
To the
window.
Left, to the left, to the left.
And where was I? Oh, web. Well, JavaScript APIs. Right. Screen sharing. Well. The next article, I just wanted to comment. Oh, wait, that's not it. I'm infinite. I've shared the screen in an infinite loop.
Well, that's great. That won't break, will it?
I hope not. Well, this article that I wanted to comment about by Nicholas Zack, a well-known personality of the JavaScript world. It's about a talk that ended up being converted into a screencast on the so-called JavaScript APIs you never heard of, or at least I should say that most developers do not know that they exist, but they are part of the DOM. And there is even a screencast video and slide share article. I'm not going over it now, but I'd like to just to mention that it covers several interesting, I would say, useful functions of the DOM that they allow us to somehow solve very simple problems. That you would better know about them because sooner or later you're going to need them regardless if nowadays you are relying more on jQuery and other libraries that make at least part of these functions not necessary. They provide more elegant solutions. Michael, I don't know if you actually have seen this presentation and if you wanted to comment about any of the functions that he mentions. It's mostly to navigate over the DOM objects.
Yeah, I haven't seen the presentation. I've seen the slides, but I didn't see or hear the audio or the video with it at YUIConf. But some of these seem a little, they remind me a little bit of, I think I mentioned a few months ago, a JavaScript performance presentation I saw at CodeStock in the summer. And I think they didn't, this presentation and that one didn't quite deal with the same things, but there was a lot of, it reminds me of it in some ways just because there's some either performance, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a performance issue with some of the, I'm thinking of something else. There's not performance, but
complication.
I'm looking at the screen right now, and there's a word that's escaping me, but there's some differences and distinctions between, he gives a few examples here, child nodes and children. They're both going and grabbing something, but they're grabbing different things based on what you might expect. So understanding some of those differences. And honestly, if somebody maybe has come into JavaScript lately, like they've done this in the past few years, they might not. Some of these remind me of old ways of getting at stuff, like child nodes. I seem to remember that being something that I was doing 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Why that was, maybe because I just didn't know any better, or things like children weren't available at the time. I don't know. I'm not good enough to know that. But I like the way that he's done this, because it does kind of show, oh, if you're using this, this is what you're going to get. And you're not going to get an error in either case. Sometimes, especially if I'm doing something kind of quick and hacky, I'll just keep throwing something at it until I don't get an error. And it's also giving me what I want. But sometimes you may get what you want in some cases, but not all the time.
Right. Well, I think most of these functions that he mentions, they exist for a long time. I think some they are actually standardized by W3C.
Now. I say probably. 10, maybe 12, 13 years ago. I don't know if all these were necessarily available, you know, IE4
Well, kind of thing. At least in the presentation, I saw some icons that seem to show that which browsers and versions are support those functions. But, at least now, as you said, they are available, and it would be interesting to know, because sometimes you need to solve a problem that using your regular jQuery or whatever library you use, you probably would not do what you wanted. And that's mainly what I wanted to mention regarding this presentation. It is available, as I said, as a screencast and also a slide share presentation. So go ahead. And moving on to the next podcast, I'd like to mention a site probably most JavaScript developers that are really connected to everything that happens in this community should be aware, which is a recent initiative. I think it's less than a couple of months old. It's an initiative called the Web Platform. And I'm trying to screen share it here, just the site. And basically, this is an attempt. I don't know how far this will go, but to have a single website documenting all the basic JavaScript libraries, not just JavaScript, but also CSS, HTML5, and everything else. All the basic APIs, and this is intended to be a collaborative effort on which the users also participate in a sort of wikis and question and answer sections and tutorials, everything else that you would like to participate, to help on this effort, to document how each thing is supporting in different browsers, so you don't have to find those things in different sites. And this is an initiative that is still getting started. They say that web platform docs are currently in alpha. I think it means that not everybody has been aware of this. I think the intention of this is to turn it into a Wikipedia for web development. I think that pretty much summarizes this effort. I have not been following this very closely, but I think this can promise to be the initiative that everybody will use in the future as a basic reference for whatever web development you want to do. Michael, did you go into this site? What did you find about it so far?
I remember when it first was announced a couple months ago. I think I first heard about this in early October, and it was a little bit more promoted as, hey, this is a collaboration between all these big names. If you look at the bottom of the screen, you see Google and Microsoft and Mozilla and HP and Opera and Adobe and so on. Oh, and Facebook. I don't know too many of the people involved right now. What's kind of interesting is for me is that there's not there's nothing here explicitly, like there's not an about the team sort of thing, because it's yeah. not 10 or 15 people there, or 10 or 15 core people from all these companies. It seems like it's a somewhat of a smaller group, but I was looking through some of the Q&A or the, yeah, was Q&A or the blog section. There's a big name, Christian Heilman, or Chris Heilman, I think, fairly well-known and very big name in the JavaScript community, or the, I guess, the web community in general. And he was just asking a question, saying, hey, when is this going to happen? But he brought up something, and his point was, when you have live examples, you better make sure that the servers are beefed up. And someone had responded, yes, we're aware of that, we're working on that. It almost seems too early right now for this to be a large resource because they don't have live examples of standards and things of that nature. I'm presuming that that's coming in the next few months. And once that's there, this might end up being the canonical resource for how do you do this, how do you do this, how do you do this in a somewhat vendor-neutral way. It's not Adobe saying this. It's not Facebook saying this. It's not Mozilla saying it or Microsoft. It's a collaboration between everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Pollyanna-ish to think that this will become something. Almost any, it feels like almost any platform or any community that people try to put together to be the place to go, no one goes there.
Yeah.
And the ones that people just sort of start or things that just have been around for a while continue to grow or sprout up in unexpected places. That said, if the level of people that I've seen contributing here continue to contribute and they get live docs and live examples up, it could be a great place.
Yeah, I think this is basically a promise, because for now there is not much material in there. One thing that I noticed that in some places, sometimes you search for things in related with the JavaScript, CSS, and the first thing that comes up is W3 schools. And that doesn't sound very standard for many people. And well, I don't see much harm in that site, but it doesn't look like what it should be, because it's not a site endorsed by anything official like this site, which endorsed by W3. Actually, W3 is the institution that is behind this effort, and as you said, despite all those big names appearing there, they do not seem to be the ones that are actually putting much effort in this. Let's move on. Well, moving on with the podcast. Now it's time to talk about the latest contributions submitted to the JS Classic site. But first, I'd like to mention superficially about a new feature that is being introduced in the site. It was introduced in the PHP Classic site first, which is basically a system of missions and levels that contributors can accomplish. And basically, these missions and levels are meant to motivate the developers that submit components to the site to do it in a way that will bring them more exposure and eventually more recognition and feedback from the users. And actually, this is going to be launched in the JS Classes site soon. It was launched in PHP Classes site first because when you accomplish a few levels, each level you, after accomplishing a few missions, you can earn some badges. Just are symbols of the missions that you have accomplished. And these badges, at the time we are recording, are not yet ready to the JS Classes site. But they will be probably by the time when this podcast is going to be published. So I just want to give an overview of what this is about. It's basically what I call the path to becoming a master of, in the case of the site I'm showing, it's a PHP, but it will also be a JavaScript. Well, these missions are mainly means to provide feedback to the authors, how much they have gone, how much their packages have been accepted, and the site provides them challenges like reaching a certain level of users and publishing a certain number of classes, having some classes being nominated for the Innovation Award, that in the case of JS classes did not start yet, but I expect to start soon because we're closer to the goal of the challenge. And as you hopefully you can see it on your screen, the site provides very nice badges which are graphical images that show the level that you have reached, and as well your name. And so these badges are personalized. They are quite large. There are also small versions of these badges. And if you go to this article that I'm showing here in the PHP classes site, there is also a video on it that it's a quick demonstration of all the aspects of them. Of this initiative, and I will not go into much more detail than this because parts of the challenges are supposed to be surprises to keep the people interested in moving on and level after level. The only thing that I can say is that each level to have an increase in difficulty, so it becomes even more interesting. At the same time, as the difficulty increases, the recognition that is provided to the author in many ways as a reflex of the missions that it has accomplished, it will be higher. And also the quality of the graphics of the badges will be increasing. In the first level, which is just an apprentice level, you just need to accomplish a very simple mission, which is to read some rules. You earn a badge made of wood, but subsequent levels, the badges will be made of more prestigious materials. Well, at least I hope that's the way I expect the people that will engage on these missions to see it. Well, this is just one of many initiatives that I'm planning for the upcoming times in the JS classes and PHP classes site, and stay tuned because the next things that I intend to implement will make it even more fun and engaging, at least I hope. And from the feedback that I got so far from the PHP classes site users, they are very excited, and many of them already engaged on these missions. There were a few minor complaints because some missions, for instance, you would have to link your account to your Facebook account, and some users do not have Facebook accounts and do not want to have them. And I probably will fix that by making those missions optional. They are just there not because there is a specific interest of the site, but just they're linking your account to Facebook or Twitter will help you to get more visibility to the work you do on the site as you publish new things, that was the main goal of those missions. But other than that, everything else is coming fine, despite the whole effort that was put on this, and lots of code that had to be written to implement this. But it was quite interesting, and I hope it becomes as fun as I think it will get for the users. Michael, did you take a look at this initiative? What were your thoughts about it?
Well, I've looked at it, and you have talked to me a couple of times about some of the research that you've looked at in the idea of There's a term that you're using. I don't want to go to the term right now, but incentivization, public incentivizations, and socializing some of that. And it looks like you're continuing to go on in that direction, and you know, we'll hopefully see that in the JS Classes site, as long as it's actually bringing a benefit, not just to you, but to the people themselves.
Right.
Personally, me, I don't... I don't want to say I don't fall for that. I don't mean it that way. I am not... Those sorts of things are not a reward for me. They never have been. Even years and years and years ago, I didn't. I mean, as a kid, I remember not liking some of those same symbols
rewards,
badges, things like that. You know, if you get a something in class, oh, here's a sticker, here's that. I've always felt a little uncomfortable with that, but I do realize that it's a staple of the social internet, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So, you know, if you can make that happen and provide value for people, and they get some motivation out of it, that's great.
Right. It's actually interesting to bring up that point, because this giving badges to users, it's not exactly the point of the system. It's actually, it's a bit silly to think about the system that just give badges as compensation. The actual reward that for the authors that contribute to the site is that once they accomplish those missions, the missions themselves have as goals to give greater exposure to the work of the authors, and in the end they'll get more recognition and feedback. And that's what I think it would be the real reward. And the badge itself, it's just a symbol.
But I don't think, I wasn't trying to trivialize it at all, and I don't think it really is trivial. I mean, the idea of somebody is going to do X, Y, and Z, and then they get the reward that they get is really the exposure and the accomplishment, and the fact they got something done.
Yeah.
And then the idea of a badge is just some little extra thing there. People could be doing that already, and there is a lot of people like the reward, whatever that may be. And I'm not saying people do it just because of that, but that is also the public symbol that they did something. And the people that they interacted with initially may know that, but 6 months down the line, other people interacting with that person, they can look and see, oh, here's your symbols. Here's your PHP classes stuff. Here's your JS classes stuff. Here's your badges on other sites. These are the collected shorthand representations of accomplishment.
Right.
So, and they're longer lasting somewhat too. So, again, I wasn't trying to trivialize it. I think I actually get what you're saying, even though you may not think I do. But anyway, you asked.
I get what you're saying. What I meant is that some users are already doing what is required to accomplish some of the missions, but others don't, because they don't realize what is the importance. Let me just give an example of one mission that most of the authors are not aware that is important for them, which is there is something now actually introduced by Google this year, which is establishing authorship, which is you have a page on the internet and you are the author of it, but all does Google know that you are the author? And this, if somebody copies your work, the original is you, is in your site. And the Google created this sort of protocol on which established some links between the pages and the actual Google profile that you have there. It could be on Google Plus or not. You don't have to have an account on Google Plus. And once you establish that profile, if somebody searches for your work on the web, if a page appears on the search results, which is a page that you establish authorship using this protocol, the results appear with your picture on the search results. And some authors know about this, others don't. And they have just to establish a link between the site and the Google profile to do that. And one mission just requires you to do that. And ultimately, the benefit for the author is not just show the picture in the search results, your picture, the picture of your face in the search results. What happens is that if somebody is searching for your for your work, when they see the search results with a picture, that looks more like the official version, and the people will tend to click on that page that has the picture and not the others that are sort of unofficial. And the idea of these missions is also to teach these things to developers. They can also implement these things in their sites, not necessarily just to establish some authorship of work in JS classes and PHP classes. And this is just an example of something that they learn. I'm not going to details about the other missions. Some missions are very simple. They are not very meaningful. Others are more meaningful. It will depend on each author. And I could stay hours talking about this, but we don't have the time. We need to move on. But anyway, as you said, I hope this helps other authors to contribute more and do better contributions, not just in quantity, but also in quality. And so we can actually talk more about them precisely here on this podcast, on which cool. We talk about the latest classes in the site. So this is the segue to the actual topic on which you comment, the latest classes published and on the JS classes site. And on that, Michael, which ones would you like to talk about this month?
Well, there were a couple, and I'm trying to find them now. Of course, the moment I try to bring up my browser, they go away.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do a quick share here. Screen share. Do 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 do. Yeah, we'll screen that. Share that one. And I'm realizing as I'm looking at myself in the window that I've got a camera facing me, but the laptop, but the main screen I'm looking at is over to this side. So I've realized some of the videos, it's probably looking like I'm not paying attention to anything the whole time. I'm actually looking at the screen where the bigger screen, in case you're wondering.
You have a bigger screen. You have a reflex on your window of the...
What, you see in reflect? Are you seeing...
No, I don't
see my okay.
Yeah. I see your screen share. I was asking if you are seeing yourself reflected on your window.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't have it up right now, but I'm sharing, but I don't see my share being shared on the main screen. I don't know why that is.
Well, I can see there. Now.
Yeah, baking classes in North Carolina.
So
there were two that fairly recently, the past couple of weeks, Dixon Santiesteban, I hope I'm saying that close to correct, hello from Cuba, hola, or hello to Cuba, hola. This is a progress bar, animated progress bar class. It's just a couple files. It's actually just one file here. I mean, there's a sample, there's HTML, but then just one, oh, I got to log in.
Now, if you can then increase the font.
Yes, I will once I log in. Don't look at my password there. It's nine black dots.
I've seen your password. It's dot, 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 dot.
Yeah, don't look at that, man.
It's big dots.
It is. It's huge. Yeah, there we go. So, Dixon, I see the accent on the A. Dixon Santiesteban Feria. See, if this was a class, we would just say class progress bar, and it would have methods in it. But as it is, it itself is a function.
Well, in JavaScript,
I know.
Objects are functions, but sometimes they don't look like they are classes.
I know. I'm just going back to our earlier ECMAScript discussion.
Yeah.
What would these look like if they were actually class based instead of?
That would be a constructor, I think.
Would be nice. One of the things I've seen here is that there's some hard-coded styles right in here. Certainly things like margins you may want to have. It would be nice for some of these to be maybe programmatically set somehow to set the color and maybe the spacing and sizing a little bit. But for a progress bar, this is a fairly small class to be able to do. And it's got the animation method right there. Let me jump back a couple more pages. Back to here. As you can see, this month we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 9 or 10 things since we last recorded. So there's been quite an upsurge since last month.
Yes.
And there, you know, there's a bunch of things we could call out here. Thanks to everybody for contributing so far.
But don't
maybe
have
one other, just a, one other to call out here from my standpoint would be the a fancy alert box pop up from, why am I not, Satyam Kumawat from India. Show alert boxes retrieved from Ajax. Down here, the code. Actually, a little bit more. You've got bundling jQuery, but then an alert box. This would be the meat of it here. And it's minified. Look at that. Not easy to tell what's going on there.
Actually,
thank you, Satyam.
No, actually, the problem there is that he set the file type to HTML. That's why it's sort of confusing.
There you go.
It's not very readable.
But yeah, that's, I mean, certainly in the last month, there's been quite a lot of activity. Is there something you want to call out?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to also mention a couple of classes. Let me just screen share them here. Screen share. Google and Hangouts changed the user interface. Now you have to find the buttons somewhere else. The first one that I wanted to comment about is this jQuery plugin for what they call masks. Basically, a mask is a sort of a filter that defines which characters can be entered in an inputs. Let's say if you enter an input to have a date in a sort of text, you can define a mask, and restrict the characters that the input will allow. I just enter here an invalid date. I try to increase the font.
I wish I'd done this 2 years ago. I got a project that I've done. Most of the people using it are school-age kids, and most of the stuff I write for tends to be line of business, larger, more adult people. And I'm just shocked at how, let's say, create a username, and I've got people putting in everything under the sun. Now, I'm doing SQL escaping, so I'm not getting any injections there, and I'm doing HTML escaping, so I'm not having any issues there, but I'm just shocked at all the garbage that people put in for a username. And it was not even on my radar that I should really be filtering this out.
Yeah.
Or preventing it through a masking mechanism of some sort.
Well, this class was actually, this JavaScript object was developed by Igor Escobar from Brazil. And actually, I have talked with him recently and even mentioned that he has a whole bunch of new objects that he's planning to send. So kudos for him to get started. This is a very simple plugin, but it is quite useful, and you'll see uses for it in practically all applications that have forms in them. And let's hope that Igor continues to send also other very interesting plugins. And another class that I wanted to mention is, actually we have already talked about it in previous podcasts, but it was in the Lately in PHP podcast by Bradley Matusiak from the United States. Basically, it's one objectized exactly in the topic that we've been talking about classes and extending classes to implement subclasses. And in this case, Bradley provides a solution that is standalone. It's not tied to jQuery or some other library that provide a similar construct. And I think this is useful. Although it's not very complicated, but for people that are wondering, how can I implement a sort of class inheritance in JavaScript, they can take a look at this component and get a few ideas, or actually sure. Use the component if you don't want to reinvent the wheel. But there are always people, though, that would rather have this implemented on their code so they can take a look at this class to learn how to do it. Well, with that, we conclude this section of the podcast, and now we're going to move on to one final section, which, Michael, do you would like to comment on the upcoming articles of the JS Mag magazine?
Well, would I like to? No, I wouldn't, but I will. Actually, just a couple things.
It's a very hard task for
you. Yeah. Speaking of duty, there's a couple things coming up. One, we have a piece from Callum McRae, who's written for us before, on JavaScript regular expressions and actually a comparison between a couple different engine types out there and some of the pitfalls you need to watch out for. And we've also got a piece on Grunt.js, which is a command line build tool in JavaScript. So both of those are coming up. There's a couple other things which we're trying to decide if they're going to make the cut this month or not, mostly just because of a timing issue, so I don't want to say too much. It'll definitely be in December or in January, but jsmag.com, check it out, and we will be back with you next month.
Okay.
That's my Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. Okay. Well,
a little before your time. Certainly before yours.
Yes. Not really, but I was trying to not remember much about her, but never mind.
There you go.
Well, this was a bit long podcast to record because we had a few recording problems. We had to
restart breaking up
several times, but we finally made it. And I would like to thank you, Michael, again for coming. And I know you are not going to engage on the missions and levels of that are coming to the site because you are not a badge boy. But on the positive side, I can assure that the next initiatives that I'm planning will be more appealing to you because, I'm not going to tell you what they are. But just put it in the air that they will appeal a different kind of audience to engage, not just the people that enjoy earning badges and completing missions and stuff.
Are you trying to say I'm fat?
Again?
Are you? Always with the weight jokes, constantly.
You always ask me that. Annoying.
It's getting very annoying.
No, not at all. But I could. Do you feel fat, Michael? Now that you mention it.
It's this camera. It's the FaceTime camera. It adds like 20 pounds on.
Or it could be my eyes.
Damn you, Apple.
Yeah. Well, on that humor note, that's all for now. Thank you. Bye.